Yeah, it's good to be together today, worshiping God. You can go ahead and open your Bibles up to Psalm 119. We're going to be at verses 9 through 16 here in just a moment, but you can be taking this time to open up your Bibles or find it on your smartphone, whatever the case may be. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. So we are starting a new series called Fresh Starts. During this time of year, at the beginning of the year, is a good time to reflect on our lives. Perhaps we're spending some time reflecting on 2014. Maybe for some of us here today, 2014 was a great year. All kinds of celebrating took place in 2014. For some of us here, you might be really glad to have 2014 in the rear view mirror. But as we begin this new year, it is good for us to think about our lives, to think about how we are going to live our lives, hopefully for the glory of God. Some of you may be into making New Year's resolutions. Perhaps you're thinking that you are going to have some sort of diet plan, or you're going to do some exercising, or this is the year that you're going to make a budget. You're going to spend less and save more. Perhaps you are going to get on some sort of habit of exercising. Those are all good things. But what we're going to do in this sermon series called Fresh Starts is think about how the practices that are important to Christianity can shape our lives so that we can bring glory and honor to God. So we're going to talk about things like Bible reading. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We'll talk about prayer. We'll talk about service. We'll talk about involvement in the body, those type of things. And the goal of all of this is that in 2015, we can live as faithfully to God is possible. Of course, we're going to have ups and downs as we go through the year, but especially in thinking about the practices that we're going to talk about in this sermon series, those will position us in a way that we can bring glory to God as we live faithfully to Him. Like I said, we're going to start with Bible reading. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16 says this: "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the joys that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." I appreciate so much in our time of worship that there was a focus on the importance of God's word. I know Daryl was very thoughtful in the songs that he chose for today. And so it is important that the word of God influences all that we do. Psalm 119 is an interesting psalm. It's the longest chapter in all of Scripture, some 176 verses. It's comprised of 22 different sections. Each section is given to one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So it goes from, in our language, from A to Z, but it goes from the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet all the way to the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In fact, in some of your translations, they might even have that Hebrew letter ahead of each section. But the really cool part, then, this is a beautiful piece of poetry, because each section, which is comprised of 8 lines, at each line, the first word starts with the letter correlating to the letter of that section. So if this were in English, let's say for the letter C, each line would have a word that starts with C as its first line. So it really becomes a beautiful bit of poetry. We know this, that the Psalm 119 is all about God's word. There are different words that are used interchangeably to talk about God's word. So we have words like statutes and precepts, ways, commandments. These type of words are used interchangeably to speak of God's word. In fact, that song that we sang from Psalm 119 used those different words. And it's all about adoration for God's word. That's what we see in Psalm 119. Notice some of these passages that talk about God's word. All of these are from Psalm 119. First of all, verse 72. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Then look at 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then 127 and 128. Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. 131 now. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. And finally, verse 136. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. This is just a sampling of some of the verses from Psalm 119 that demonstrate this love, this appreciation, this adoration, even for the Word of God. Notice what some of these verses say. For instance, the Word of God is more precious than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. The value of the Word of God is that important. The psalmist writes, I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands, understanding that the Word of God brings nourishment, it brings hope, it brings understanding to the person of God. In this one, Psalm 136, I just love this. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. You can imagine the psalmist crying because there are people that are not adhering to the Word of God. It moves them to tears. It moves them to feeling these kinds of emotions. You see this appreciation, this love, this respect for the Word of God. God's Word is at the heart of what it means to be a person of God. The Word of God, and especially what the psalmist is writing about in Psalm 119, and what the community would have been singing, what the community would have been praying, is primarily for them, for the Jews, the Israelites, would have been Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, also referred to as the Book of Moses or the Pentateuch. This was the very expression of God. God's Word was an important identity marker for the people of God. It was God's Word that shaped them. It was God's Word that drew them into the heart of God. It was God's Word that set them apart from the other nations in order that they could witness to God's ways and God's Word and God's purposes to the surrounding nations. And so God's Word was very important for their community identity. And for the church today, God's Word is important for our identity as the church, as the community of God's people. In fact, a passage like 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17 may have already come to mind for you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Don't miss this in verse 17. There's a so that. A lot of times we end at verse 16. We get this purpose. It's for teaching, correcting, rebuking that. But notice verse 17. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is important to us because it shapes us into people that do the work of God. There's a so that to the Word of God. I'm going to say this about our study of Psalm 119, 9 through 16 this morning. I think it's very appropriate for us when we read precepts, statutes, and commandments today as Christians to read that as God's Word in its totality, Old Testament and New Testament. It's God's Word as we have it in its fullness. I think it's very appropriate to read Old Testament and New Testament into what we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's go ahead and get into the text. First of all, back to verse 9. I'm going to read that, Psalm 119 and verse 9. The psalmist starts out, how can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? So if it's been several years ago now, 6.5, 7 years ago, I went ring shopping. I was, with the small budget that I had, it was time to purchase a ring so that I could ask Sarah to marry me. And so I was really excited about this, but it was an education to start going to these jewelry stores and learning about the different rings. And one of the things that I remember are the 4 C's of diamonds. Maybe for some of you guys who have shopped for rings or diamonds, maybe you remember some of these, the 4 C's of diamonds. And they are this. I'm going to try to remember them. We've got color, cut, carats, and clarity. Those were the 4 C's of the diamonds. And what I was finding is the higher the value of these C's, the more expensive the rings were. So I was trying to do some bargain shopping, not really bargain shopping, but just trying to work within my budget as best as I could. But one of them I remember was the clarity. The jeweler just kept going back to the clarity. And we know by clarity what is meant there is the wholeness, the purity of the diamond. The higher the clarity, the clearer the diamond, the more expensive, the more valuable that diamond actually was. The psalmist says that a young person, and I think we could, it implies they're all people, I think we can say this is for all of us here today, that we stay on the path of purity, we find wholeness, we live the faithful life, we live the life that God desires for us, the life that God offers us. We live that kind of life by living according to God's word. That's how we live the whole life. And as we look around our world today, we know that there's all kinds of impurity out there, right? And not just impurity in the sexual sense. And there's a lot of that out there. We see that on a regular basis. We watch television. We see what's on the internet. We understand there's impurity in the sexual sense, but there's impurity in other ways. There's this sense of people being divided in so many ways. There's impurity in a person's devotion, their heart being given to materialism and driven by success and popularity. We see that even nations themselves are divided within the nation because of different political issues and things like that, power plays that are working. So there's impurity all around us. There's this lack of wholeness, the lack of being the human people, the humans that God has created us to be. So we see it in all kinds of different ways. The psalmist says the path to purity, the path to living the kind of life that God desires us to live is through living according to the Word of God. So we've got that. Now through the rest of the section we're going to look at today, I think the psalmist sort of adds or throws in some of the components of what it means to live according to the Word. We're going to look at 3 different things today that are involved in living according to your Word. And the first one is simply that by living according to the Word of God, we rejoice because of God's Word. There's a sense of joy. Look at verse 14. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. For the psalmist, the reality of God's word moves him to rejoicing, finding joy in the truth that the Creator of the world has offered his word to his people so that they can have purpose and identity. Now I'm going to kind of, a little confession time here for just a moment. And maybe this is your situation, maybe not, but I'm just going to offer a bit of my heart here as far as this goes. For a long time, at least how I was perceiving the Word of God being taught and talked about was that it was some sort of straitjacket. So the Word of God was simply a list of things you can and cannot do. There was a lack of joy in how the Word of God was talked about. It wasn't talked about in a way that was saying, this is God, the loving Father who has offered his heart, has offered his very word to people so you can find rescue and you can find how to live, how to desire. This is something wish to be joyful about. It wasn't talked about in that way. In fact, it was talked about in a very serious tone, as if it's some sort of rule book. The person, the people who I'm talking about here, maybe they felt joy, but as they talked about the Word of God, they weren't communicating that joy. But the psalmist, not just here in verses 9 through 16, but some of those other verses that we read, that the Word of God is more precious than silver and gold. It's sweeter than honey. You can see this joy. It exudes out of what we're reading here. There's joy in the Word of God. When you talk about the Word of God with your children and friends, is there a joy in knowing that God has offered us a way to live in relationship with Him? Is there that joy there? The second thing is this: living by the Word of God involves committing to living by the Word. There's this level of commitment. Look at these three verses. The first one, verse 11: "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The psalmist said, "I have hidden your word in my heart." Then verse 15: "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I think deeply about the Word of God, and I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." You can see the commitment that the psalmist and the community of God's people have for the Word of God. It's hidden in their heart. Now I would ask you, is the Word of God hidden in your heart? Another way of asking that, as you are in the Word, is the Word in you? This is all isn't happening in a vacuum. I think we need to make note of that. The people that would have been reciting this psalm, those original Israelites, they would have been living lives. They would have had families. They would have been going to the market. They would have been interacting with people. And so we read about meditating on your precepts. Possibly they would have gotten away for a little bit of time so that they could reflect on the Word of God. Perhaps they brought their family together so they could consider the ways of the Lord. In fact, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. We're talking about committing to the Word of God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Notice how the Word of God is to become a part of their common life. Everywhere that they turn, they are to see the Word of God. And as they move as a family and as a community, they are to talk about the Word of God. It is to sort of be absorbed into all that they do as people. There's a commitment to the Word of God. As families, and this is something I would ask all of us, as families, as a community of faith, as a church family, do we talk as easily about the Word of God as we do a football game? Or just about the weather or what's been going on? Is the Word of God continually on our lips? It was to be on the lips of the community of God's people. The psalmist, we see this language of commitment. The psalmist says, "I will not neglect your word." What a powerful proclamation of faith that the Israelites were making, and the psalmist specifically. "I will not neglect your word." Is that something that we can say as a church family? Is that something that you can say as an individual families? Is that something that you can say as a family? We will not neglect your word. We will make it a priority to have it be absorbed into our common life. The Word of God will continually be on our lips. And then finally, a component of living by the Word of God is asking the Lord for guidance and teaching. Verse 10, "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands." And what a beautiful prayer there. As we read the Word of God, it's coupled with this petition to the Lord. Don't let me stray from your commands. Keep me on your path, dear Lord. In verse 12, "I praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees." I don't know what it looks like necessarily for God to teach us His ways, His precepts, its statutes. But I do believe this, I'm very confident of this, that if we ask the Lord to teach us, He will teach us. Is that a regular prayer that you have? Teach me your decrees, dear Lord. And I think that happens in all kinds of different ways. I hope it's happening together today as we meet as an assembly. It's happening in our Bible classes. It's happening in our Wednesday night times. It's happening with our families. At least I hope that it is. I want to commend the Bible class teachers here for the good work that you're doing. I won't mention names, but you know who you are. Continue to do the work of teaching the Word of God. You'll be blessed for it, and more importantly, you're blessing others because of it. The psalmist was asking the Lord for guidance and teaching. One thing that I think it's important to note here is that in verse 10, the psalmist implies what he's saying, that he knows the commandments of God. He says, don't let me stray from them, implying that they are in his heart. Are they in my heart? Are they in your hearts? Thinking about our life today, I'm going to throw out just a few practical, four practical ways in which we can live by the Word of God in 2015. Many of you are already doing those things. Keep up the good work. You're a good example of dedication to the Word of God. But these are things I hope that we can work into our lives as we were talking about living by the Word of God so that we can glorify God in 2015. Here's a few things I'd like to mention. The first is this: attend Bible class and worship in 2015. Make it a priority to be a part of our Bible classes and our worship assemblies. Parents, make it a priority to get your children into our Bible classes. The best way to help them to come to know the Word of God is to exemplify it in your own life. Lead your children in this. All of us, let's be diligent in studying the Word of God before. I've heard it said before that 90% of life is showing up. And so come, be a part of what's going on here. Secondly, commit to a daily Bible reading routine. You can pick up a daily Bible that will help you in doing this. You can pick one of those up at Mardell or Amazon, I'm sure. You could also just Google daily Bible reading plans. You'll find all kinds of them on the internet. If you have trouble with that, talk to me about that. I'd be glad to assist you in that. But maybe this will be the year that you read through the entire Bible. Or maybe this is the year that you read through the Psalms, or you read through the Gospels several times. Or you decide just to read through the New Testament or through the Old Testament. The point is, make it a priority to read through the Bible this year. Read the Bible this year. The next one is similar. Have a verse of the day. Reflect on a verse in the morning. Then in the evening, reflect on that verse and take that verse with you throughout the day. Think about if you have a passage like 1 Corinthians 10:24 just on your mind and on your heart all day. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. You know, take a verse like that, and that's going to shape your interaction with your spouse. It'll shape your interaction with your coworkers and with others. It doesn't have to be a whole passage. You don't have to memorize Psalm 119 and take that with you today. Maybe it's 4, 5, 6 words, a simple statement. But have a verse of the day and take it with you throughout the day. It will influence the way that you live. And then finally, perhaps this year you'll begin doing a family devotional together. This doesn't need to be a long, drawn-out process. It could 5, 10, 15 minutes. Maybe reflect on one or two verses. The point is just to get Bible reading into the routine of your daily life. Spend time reading a passage, pray about that passage. Perhaps you could ask some questions about that passage. Just talk about the Bible as a family. So four different things: attend Bible class and worship, commit to a daily Bible reading routine, have a verse of the day, and do a family devotional. Commit to those. Commit to those things. You will be the better for it. I promise you that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Imagine for a moment that you went on a hiking trip to the Rocky Mountains. You went with some friends. I decided you were going to have a great time. You planned it all out. You knew where the stops were. You knew the trails really well. But as you were on that hiking trip, and it was hot, it was summertime, you got lost. One day, 2 days, a week, 2 weeks goes by. Well, during that time, of course, eventually you're going to run out of food. Your backpack gets lighter and lighter as your time goes on, and you're wandering and you're thinking that a rescuer is going to come, but that rescuer has not come yet. How long do you think that you would survive the Rocky Mountains with no food? Could you make it a week? Could you make it 10 days? Could you make it 2 weeks? I don't know how long you could make it, but I'd imagine it wouldn't be too long because you need the nourishment of food. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The truth is, for a lot of us in this room, and I know we'd hate to admit it, no one's going to have to raise their hands this morning or anything, but for a lot of us, we've gone a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month without the nourishment of the Word of God. How long can you survive without the bread that God offers from His mouth? How long can you survive? Maybe this year, you're going to commit to feasting on the Word of God, finding the nourishment that He offers so that you can live the life that God has called you to live as you bring Him glory and honor, because He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our lives. If there's anybody here this morning that needs the prayers of this assembly, we want you to know that we'd be so glad to pray with you and for you. You can let us know what's on your hearts in a very public way. Also, we want you to know that there will be some elders available at the back doors and at the foyer. They are there, standing ready to pray with you and for you as well. They are good listeners. So if you have something you'd like to share in a private way, you can share that with their shepherds, and they will pray with you and for you. If today is the day that you're ready to put on the Lord in baptism like Hope did last week, we'd be so glad to assist you in that. And more importantly, we'd be glad to witness you do that, to make you that choice. We will celebrate with the angels and another sinner coming home. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.